Good morning, New City. Oh, let's do better than that. Good morning, New City. Come on, you all just celebrated 9 years of God's goodness. It's such a pleasure to be here and honor to be here with you this morning. Let me tell you something, man. God is good. Come on, and all the time.
God is good.
Y'all gonna talk back this morning? Hey, listen, I'm a brother, so that sounds good to me. I've been praying for you, your leaders, Pastor Dylan. I met Pastor Dylan a few months ago through my pastor, Pastor Steven Madsen. I love Pastor Dylan, man. He's straight down the middle, isn't he? I mean, ain't no right or left with this joker. This dude is right down the middle, man. And I love that about him. You need folks like that in your life. He's an awesome pastor. I can tell by just walking in the building and fellowshipping with most of you, man, God is in the place. And let him keep doing what he's doing here. Don't engineer anything. Stay organic as much as you can. Be childlike in your faith, New City. Be childlike. I'm praying right now that God, I always pray right now, God, help me be a child and experience your joy. Experience your mercy and your grace. Never let me get grown and mature to where I just cannot see you, recognize you, love you, not like a child. Let me be a child. I want to say thank you to my family who's here with me today, my wife Kelly. We've been married 14 years, y'all, this year. My son Justin, he's 11. Yeah, we have an older one as well, Jane, he's 18. He's out there getting to the end of the world, which is good. Working hard. Keep us in your prayers as we get ready to plant Third Day Church next year in 2027. We need all of your prayers. All of your prayers. God is sending us to a place. But we'll do some digging, but man, gospel opportunity is there for the Lord to work. And we're just getting involved. He called our number, so y'all keep us in your prayers for real. Let's grab a spiritual meal in John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15 is where we will have our spiritual meal this morning. And I want to talk from a subject. Where is your joy? Where is your joy? John chapter 15, we'll look at verse 11. It reads this way. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Father, bless this word. Open our hearts. Open our minds and our ears. Teach us all this morning. God, somebody in here who doesn't have their joy. Father, I'm praying that you fill them this morning with your joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The big idea I want to leave with you this morning is that your joy is not in your circumstance. Your joy is in Jesus Christ. Your joy is not in your circumstances, family. I promise you. It is in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Every person longs for joy, but we need to understand how and where to pursue it in the right place. Sometimes in our search for joy, we must ask a few questions. One, what is joy? Is it the same as happiness? Do we represent joy? For many, joy may seem tied to external circumstances, like a job promotion, or a special relationship, a healthy lifestyle, a long-awaited win. That happiness is real. And happiness, at best, happiness is our response to temporary pleasures. But here's the real test. What happens when those things fade away in life? Or they don't go your way? Are you left empty, searching for your next source of happiness? Joy, on the other hand, family, is intrinsic. It's internal. It's a person. It is a Christian virtue based on Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Joy requires us to grab our imaginary shovel and dig within to find its comfort when life deals its most brutal blows in difficult times. Joy shapes our attitude as believers. However, don't just take my word for it. Let us examine how the Bible defines joy. Joy, and how Jesus lived out joy. John 15, verse 11, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy be in you, and that your joy may be full." It seems as if Jesus speaks of joy beyond external circumstances. Would you agree? What excites me about this verse, family, is his full joy. Picture being so full and filled with joy, so complete and secure, that nothing could diminish your joy. The choir used to sing it this way: "This joy that I have, the world can't take it away."
Amen.
I came to preach to somebody who lost their joy. You haven't felt joy in a very long time. You haven't been joyous in a very long time. Life has gotten you. Circumstances have gotten you. Difficult times have gotten you. And I promise you today, the Lord Jesus wants to lift you up. So let me give you three locations on where to find your joy in Jesus Christ. First location is, your joy is in the vine. Look at verses 4 through 5 with me. It says, "Remain in me, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." Family, there are seasons in our lives when joy is just hard to find. But what I love about the work of Jesus Christ is that he made authentic joy possible through union with him. And how sweet it is to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go here, but I am thankful for God's presence. I'm thankful to be able to be in fellowship with Christ. I am thankful for the work he did on the cross, so that now I am accepted into this family, that I can now have life with him abundantly, and that he dwells with me every day, 24/7, 365, beyond my circumstance, beyond what is going on in the world. I am with Jesus Christ. Amen. I have his presence. But here's the key. It's not enough to just connect for connecting's sake. It's not enough to just be saved for salvation's sake. It's not enough to just come to church just to just come to church. He desires for us, family, to abide in him, to stay in him. I love the word remain or abide, because it is like there's a flourishing outcome of bearing fruit. There's a harvest. There's good vegetation that when we abide in Christ, there's a lot coming out of that relationship. That's the one relationship that you'll never put more in than you can. It's the one relationship that matters more than any other relationship you ever had. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus gives us the first location of joy. It's an easy observation. He says it's in the vine. And how do we get there? By abiding in the vine. What does that mean? The original language just says it this way: I need you
to remain in me. I need you to stay in me. I need you to dwell in me, lodge in me. Watch this. Share close space with me. I need you to be in close quarters with me. I need true intimacy with you. I need you to stay right there. I know what's going on, but I need you to stay close to me. Jesus uses this metaphor of the vine and the branch to show us that the branch draws its connection, light, and strength from the vine. If it's cut off, it withers. It becomes lifeless and it dies. Similar to our dead spiritual life that is not connected to Christ, which provides spiritual life by grace through faith, according to Ephesians chapter 2. True joy can come when we have gone from death to life in Christ and remain connected in Him through this redeemed life. See, this is good news, family, because Jesus gives us the visible image of who God the Father is. And He was sent to deliver salvation for a dying people, a people who did not know Him. We just read it in Romans chapter 5. When we did not know you, when we were not close to you, when we were not thinking about you, you died for us, the ungodly. You proved your love for us. You thought about us when we didn't think about you. What a God you are. That God wants you to remain close to Him. And that means He did that for everyone, everywhere. My son Justice led a devotion a few months ago around Philippians chapter 2, verse 28, acknowledging the fact that Jesus came down to die for you and I. If you're here today and you're needing liberation, a joyous Savior, watch this, is still showing up for you. He never stopped. He's still showing up for you. There's an invitation for you to abide. There is an opportunity, family, for you to abide. What I love about this is that Jesus knows what you need. There's a plant in our home. I promise you, since the day I met my wife, we got married, I know that plant has been dead 100 times. I know that plant has been dead 100 times. I've looked at that plant and said, I know you're dead. You're so brown. There's no life in you. I know there's no life in you.
Has loved me,
So have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Family, do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God, the creator of heaven and earth, loves you? The God that measures the oceans in his hand. Do you believe that that God loves you? I'm going to tell you, man, there's nobody, look at me, nobody in this world that loves you better or more than God.
Amen.
Not your mama, not your dad, not your brothers or your sisters. Your best friend don't have the love that God has for you. I don't care what they know. They don't know God. God loves you more than anybody. God cares for you more than anybody. This is not motivation. This is real. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He loves you beyond you can ever think or imagine. And I want you to spend the rest of your natural life pursuing his love. Listen to the words of the Savior Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Friends, Christ our joy knows how to love because his love for us led him to the cross. It is the highest act of unfathomable love. Period. Jesus says, my delight is to give the love that I have received from the Father to you as you abide in me. This creates the joy that you need. John simply states that abiding in Christ means receiving the fullness of God's love. You might not always feel the fullness of God's love, but the reality is you have the fullness of God's love in you. And that joy is produced through his love. Yeah. Did you know that the whole plan of salvation stems from God's love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you. One author put it this way, God does not love you to the degree that you are like Christ. Rather, he loves you to the degree that you are in Christ, and that's 100%. Friends, you might feel like you're on a path of unlovable because of the things you have done and the thoughts you have. But if you hear anything I'm telling you today, know that what you think about your past or present negatively has no bearing on the fact that God sent his Son to this earth for you. Out of love. Now, I know you can get there and say, man, Brendan, man, I promise you, bro, you don't know what I'll be thinking. You really don't know what I've done. I'll be honest with you, man, you don't even know what I'm doing. I don't. God does. And yet, this amazing God still decides to wake him up. To put breath in your body. To give you another shot at life. Another chance to be a believer. Another chance to experience his joy. Are y'all feeling me this morning? Your joy is in his love. You gotta know that. Are you on the right path for God's love? Maybe. Look at what Jesus says. My Father glorifies the disciples who understand that joy is an inside job. through obedience and practicing his presence. It is wise to prove ourselves as his disciples, family. Look at verse 8. All I'm commanding to you is this, that you remain in Christ's love. That means to copy what Jesus did to the Father. Jesus said, I've never left the Father's side. If I have remained in the Father, you do the same. Remain in him. Stay close to me. Stay close in my love.
Charles Spurgeon put it this way in his book on Sermon on How to Become Full of Joy. He says, if any of you have lost that joy in the Lord, I pray that you do not think your loss is small. I have heard of a minister who once said that a Christian lost nothing by his sin. And then he added, except his joy. Well, what else would you have him lose? Isn't that quite enough? To lose the light of my Father's countenance and my full assurance of my interest in Christ is to lose my best and purest delight. And that, is that not a loss quite great enough? Let us walk prayerfully, let us walk carefully, so that we may possess unbroken peace and joy to the fullest. Lost version of this. Let me tell you what you really lost. Man, you lost joy. It's not so much, man, that I just lost, I've been sinning, or it's not so much I got the negativity going on, it's not so much that I'm always far from God. I have lost pure delight in the Father. I've lost closeness with God. That's why I don't have my joy. That's why I can't be full with the light. I'm going to help you this morning. Get back close with God. That's all I'm going to tell you this morning. Your joy is in your closeness with God. John Coltrane did an album, 1965. Called Love Supreme. One of the coldest, best jazz albums in the world. Some say it took about 20 years to get to that album. John Coltrane didn't just get up in the studio and just produce that album. I mean, he had notes that he had to prepare. He had scales and methods that he had to put together. John Coltrane had to work because he was pouring out love on this album, Love Supreme. Our joy is where love is poured out the most, and that's through Christ. Amen. And the way that beautiful album sounds, can you know you got that fullness in your heart, in your body, in your being, family? I love that. Lastly, not only is your joy in the vine, not only is your joy in his love, your joy is in his fullness. Can I preach this? Look at verse 11. I told you, so that this may be your joy, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. I love this. Finally, Jesus doesn't just offer partial or temporary joy, family. He provides full, abundant, and eternal joy. Here it is. He says, I want to give you full joy, which means I want to cram, I want to feel, and I want to complete every part of you with my joy. I want to push it in. I want it to feel so much in you that it cannot leave. I want you full of my joy. There is nothing temporary. There is nothing partial about God in you. There is nothing. You get the full package of his righteousness. You get the full package of his joy in you. He wants to fill you to the brim and floods every part of our lives. Can you imagine being on the divine operating table of God, where the hands of God have to have opened our hearts to
fill us with a holy concoction of himself. He turns to the angelic staff and he says, give me a dose of forgiveness so I can put into this person. Give me a dose of righteousness that I may fill into this person. Give me a dose of sanctification that I'm going to put into this person. Give me a full dose of peace that I'm going to put up in this person. Give me a full dose of love that I'm going to put up in this person. Now let me top it off with joy. Give me more doses of joy. I want joy in them, and more joy, and more joy, and more joy. Your joy is not in your circumstance. It is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can hear our brothers Paul, James, and Nehemiah, and David helping us to shift to what my wife would call Jesus joy. Paul would say it this way, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. James will say it this way, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter serious trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Nehemiah will say it this way, do not grieve. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. I can see David saying it this way, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing forever with joy. That's Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. Their conviction to talk like this stems from an unwavering truth that the fullness of joy comes from abiding in him. This is necessary to us because life, hear me, is going to keep bringing you trials. It will keep bringing you difficulties. You're either in a trial, coming out, or going in another one. That's the cycle. So you have to have joy in your life. Joy is the governor that lets us know that you are leaning and depending on the everlasting arms of Jesus.
Amen.
My brother wrote a book called Unfazed. Dr. Tony Ward says, you and I cannot escape some things in life, but we can thrive through them.
Amen.
We can thrive through them. It's some stuff we just cannot escape, but we can thrive through them. Let me help you out. You have family loss? You can thrive with Jesus' joy. Your children not listening to you? Choose Jesus' joy. You got a salary reduction? Choose Jesus' joy. Your business account's drying up? Choose Jesus' joy. Your ministry burnout? Choose Jesus' joy. Your divorce? Choose Jesus' joy. Sickness and disease, choose that Jesus joy. Drug addiction, you choose that Jesus joy. Miscarriages, you choose that Jesus joy. You may not be happy, but you can choose joy. You may not be happy, but in Christ you can choose joy.
Let me give it to you this way, my mother, I get my sweet tooth from her. My grandmother would cook so much, she would always have dessert with my mother and family. And sometimes she'd cook what you don't like. Remember that? You had to eat there at the table until you finished what was on that plate. You know, kids today got a lot of options. Back in the day, whatever was cooked, that's what you ate. I don't care if it took you 3-4 hours. Mama knows. My mother said one night, man, your grandma cooked that strawberry shortcake. She said, but man, she had all this other stuff, broccoli and all this, man, I did not want to eat. She said, I'm sitting at that table. I didn't want to eat it. She said, eventually, but I knew I wanted that strawberry shortcake. She said, man, Brad, I crammed everything in my mouth and put it down. I kept cramming in my mouth and I put it down. She said, I took my plate and I ran to my grandma and I said, here, I finished it. Let me get that strawberry shortcake.
She wanted her joy complete. As it was for my mother, it is with you. As it was with Jesus. joy anymore, no crying, no pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. It will be over. Everything you're going through has an ending. God is going to come back and snatch us up, and it'll be over. You can put the Kleenex boxes up. No more crying. No more death. All life. We got joy in this life and joy with Him forevermore. It's joy everlasting. And may God do this until He returns in this church. I want this testimony in this church. I want to see more salvations. I want to see more baptisms. I want to see more membership. May God flood and breathe on this church and this area. May He give this city great joy because New City was here. Acts chapter 5. Listen to it. To those who were scattered, went on their way preaching the word. Philip went down to a city of Samaria and proclaimed to Messiah in them. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said, and they listened and saw the signs that he was performing. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Only that gospel can give that joy. It only holds you together, y'all. It sustains you. Jesus Christ is the person of joy. And when He came down for you and I, when He stood in our stead, it was Jesus' joy. The Father said it was a joy to whom it did. Lord have mercy. For you and for me. David says, weeping. Hebrews says it this way, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, man, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sins against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Your joy is not in your circumstance. It is in Jesus Christ. Consider Him when those circumstances get tough. Consider what He did. Don't focus on the circumstance. Focus on Jesus. My job this morning was to align back to Jesus. You want your joy? You want joy. You have it. You already have it. Just say, Father, forgive me. I didn't even know I have this joy. I didn't know you were.